phone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Here we are, sipping tequila and...
tequila,
having a nice, cool, frosty one on Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, his co-host, wingman, XO, and hobbly-wobbly guy, Joe D.
Now I really am a hobbit.
we had a little confusion on the board here. Rob kind of screwed us up, but it's all right. He fixed it. So we're back.
Yeah!
Well, you know.
And that was the, I got to mention, just throw it out here, because the music is a part of the show. The beginning, of course, was the Scotty Gossin Combo out of Oregon, who did our promo for us. And the sound you're listening to under me now are a good friend of the show, Dennis the Goatman, and the Brooklyn Time Machine. This is their acoustic compilation. You can check them out on Facebook and on the web. Those guys are great. They do all sorts of great parties and things, and Dennis supplied us with that CD, so...
Always like it when they when we have some classical stuff there.
Tequila!
That ain't like Beethoven and stuff, you know?
Right.
How are we doing today, Ray?
Well, I'm doing, I think, measurably better than you may be, my hobbly friend. But that notwithstanding...
I'm still standing.
Yes, that's the never-say-die attitude.
Dragged my sorry butt in here, even though I'm only on 1.5 legs. But,
well,
hey.
And I knew you would have to do that because, of course, like Gerard from Rolling Thunder Cycle says, we are Long Island's only fully authorized, verified, and vetted automotive talk show on Long Island or in the area.
One of us owns a vet?
Well, yeah, we might.
I gotta go look in the garage. I mean, damn.
Right. So we're
so screwed up here.
I know, we're always fixing mechanical things.
Yeah.
And I knew you'd want to come in today because we're going to be talking with, in a short while, Mike Forte from Forte's Transmissions, ForteSparts.com. You could check him out. He does all sorts of Tremec stuff, Tremec Transmissions, which is the gear grinder of choice in my street car.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. These days you can't get by with like a 3-speed or a 4-speed anymore.
Right. Well, this is, in the manual world, 5-speed and 6 is the way to go. Oh, thank God I didn't go for a 6. I'm having enough trouble with 5. But
it's hard to count on your fingers while you're trying to get on it.
I know. And the shift balls got complicated. Our good friend Kenny Hammer, who's been on the show many times, Kenny put me in touch with Mike and said, this is the guy you got to talk to about your transmission issues. And we had a few conversations this week and one right before the show. So after our first break, Mike will be on with us and we'll talk all about the stuff he does and all that cool stuff. So,
yeah, I think it's there's a lot of... there's a lot of stuff about automatics and, like 9-speeds and CVTs and all kinds of other wacky stuff, but nothing like a good old manual transmission, even though it's more than the 3 or 4 speeds we grew up with. They're still out there, and there are plenty of guys who still like them.
Well, it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone.
I know I can't drive one for about the next month.
I know. I got to tell you, just to backtrack a little before, because we'll talk a lot about transmissions in a bit. The other day, of course, with the snow, I decided to get off my butt. I was talking to Mike at the shop about I needed to replace one of my rims for my snow tires because it was bent from when I hit the slid off the road last year, and I found a replacement from Tire Rack, ordered it up, and they had it at my house by Friday.
Wow.
So Friday afternoon when I get home, I said, hey, I called Mike, hey, you get the shop? Yeah, I want to come down and, use the tire machine at all. So I did, and I just brought my, I brought the, well, one snow tire that we dismounted was at the shop, so I took the second one with me and did it there. And, of course, it was snowing, so I was ready to do this outside on a foot of floor jack, just like, you know, a monkey. But luckily, I was able to back the car in, just get the back wheels into the shop, because there was a truck in the bay that, that we didn't want to move. And I was able to work in there, and Mike said, hey, you didn't bring the other two snow tires? I was like, no, I really don't have room in my car, because then I'd have to bring four back, four tires back with me, and I just took the two. So I put the two, like the mistake I made last year, putting the new ones on the front, this time I took those two snow tires and put them on the back of the car.
Yay,
and
good.
I will tell you, I then drove his grandfather home over to Belmore, so I had a couple miles to go. And I felt immediately the front of my car with the stock, the regular, you know, summer tires, definitely was getting squirrely, and I could feel it immediately, and the back of the car was planted. So what they say is true, and witnessed by the fact that with only two snows on a front-wheel drive car, try and get comfortable there, Joe.
I'm okay.
I know. It worked. And then what I did is, when I got home, I said, okay, this is really not a good way to drive. In the snow, in my driveway, I rolled out my floor jack, and I put the other two snow tires on. And
good. Now you're set.
But I got to tell you something. People are unbelievable. I'm on Merrick Road and going through Freeport, and we're doing like 20, 25 miles an hour, tops. Mm-hmm. The snow was kind of coming horizontal in different ways. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's hard to see, icing or whatever. I hear an exhaust noise. And I'm like, what is that? And I see to my left, there's a guy in a WRX, a Subaru WRX.
Okay.
With the big fart can. And he wants to, like, race me in the snow. Because my Mazda, ever since I've had it, people think that, I guess I'm, you know, probably a 20-something boy racer.
It's like the Mazda Speed, yeah. So they get confused.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He hadn't seen anything all day, so he decided to go after you.
In the snow! Right. I mean, I'm 25 miles an hour. I'm trying to just stay, you know, within the lines and not crash. And this guy wants to, he's rubbing the engine. He wants to race. I'm like,
well, it's like
no.
That Art Linkletter show from back in the day. People are effing morons.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Oh, let me tell you.
I mean, come on. I mean, go get yourself a dog, a sled, something. Like, let just people drive.
I know. I noticed, and then on the highway, it was early that day, it was the next day. You know, a guy comes, I'm in the left lane with a cruise control on. This guy comes blasting down in a BMW SUV, and he's boy racer, right? So I'm like, okay, go, you know, go. He cuts in front of me, no directional, no nothing. Yeah, go on. Of course, you own the road, so do that.
Yeah, right.
And then what comes strafing down like a fighter jet behind him? Some jamoke in a BMW. Like a CL, I forget the hell what, it was white, that's all I saw, because he came down like a fighter jet, following the jerk in the BMW. Like,
well, yeah, that stuff is cumulative, you know.
And just weaving through traffic. And then, granted, the cars are driving cars. They're made to do that.
Yeah.
But the thing that, the factor that I think, that I know these guys don't take an account for, and not only the guys, I've seen women doing this too,
oh,
is
yeah.
Everybody else on the road isn't driving like that. And they're not equipped to drive like that.
Right.
You may not be either, but your car is. And I'm thinking, like, okay, at this point in my life, I just want to get myself far enough back so I can
right.
see the poof when it happens, like, down the
yes,
road.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and just so you could walk, you know, drive by and go.
And then drive around it.
Yeah, morons, yeah.
Hopefully not get stuck behind it for 2 hours.
Oh, well, yeah, let's face it. I mean, people get a little overly confident. You know, BMW is probably being at the top of the list there. But let's not forget SUVs in the snow. You know, they all of a sudden, they think that the laws of physics do not apply to them.
Exactly.
And they could drive like 80 in the snow and, you know, like sudden changes of direction or stopping or anything like that will not have an effect because they are death proof.
I was talking to a guy last week and I said, you know, people feel, I forget how the conversation started, but I said, you know, people feel that because they have all-wheel drive and ABS and traction control and all this stuff, and I've heard people say it, oh, I'm not going to get in an accident because I have all-wheel drive, traction control, ABS.
Right.
And the guy was looking at me like, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, you know that's all false, right? And he looked at me like, and I was as surprised as he was because he was surprised to hear me say that, and I was surprised that he didn't understand that I was right.
Yeah.
And I said, should I explain? I said, all that stuff works. I said, the force of friction is what stops your car. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, we all know the brakes stop your car, right? He goes, right. I'm like, no. I'm like,
wrong answer.
The brakes affect the slowing force of the wheel. It's the friction between
the tire against
and
the ground,
the road.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I said that force of friction is what stops the car.
Yes.
I said, now if you were stopping nicely and someone threw oil under your tires, what would happen? You'd slide.
Yes, it would become very entertaining very quickly.
I said that because your force of friction is gone. I said that's where your ABS comes in, and I explained to him now, trying to explain to him how pulse modulation works and what the brakes are doing, and he had this faraway look in his eyes. And
yeah.
He's not a stupid guy, but, you know, he just...
Right, yeah, they glaze over.
I said, you know...
I don't know, this is just like, am I going to crash? You moron.
I said, we're talking about thousands of times a second. And I said, everything has... It's a time-speed-space ratio.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I said, if it can all happen in the amount of time needed, your car will stop. I said...
But
if you don't have enough distance,
luck.
Yeah. I said, if one of those variables changes, now the whole thing is out of balance.
Right.
And I said, so plenty of people crashed with their foot on the brake and feeling the ABS pulsing because they didn't have enough space.
Exactly, yeah. And the same thing goes for, you know, they have the stability control now that applies the brakes under certain conditions or pulls back on the power or whatever.
New cars, they have that yaw sensor. I need a yawn sensor, because I told Mike yesterday, we went to a party at Jimmy's Junkyard, side story here, and I said to him, I want to get a little bit of a little rest in. I said, I found now, at the age I'm at and at the part I'm at in life, I can sit down at almost any time during the day in front of the TV.
I was
watching, but I said, if I close my eyes and say, just rest, I'll go out. I will go to sleep.
I wish I could do that.
And I did.
I usually just do that without any warning. But okay, yeah, that works too. You're more disciplined.
Well, yeah. I knew I had some time, and I knew that my wife was home, so she could actually wake me up if need be.
Smack you with the... Yeah.
Hey, they're here. You know, get up. So, yeah. We are going... I know what's happening, but we're going to... We're waiting for Mike. We're going to talk to Mike in a few seconds. You know what? Maybe we'll take an early break and give him. I'm not sure mm-hmm. if this is Mike or not. So
right, okay.
We're on that cliff right now.
Yeah. So we'll just kind of wait. So all right. Well, you want to talk about yawning sensors some more?
So well, if we got a minute and a half, 2 minutes on that, we can. How does it? What is a yaw sensor? What does it do, and how does it work?
Well, actually, these days they have yaw and pitch. In other words, it senses the axis of the vehicle, whether you're trying to go up on your side, or you're pitching up or pitching down. It's kind of something like something you expect to see in an airplane. And what it does is that it communicates that to. It depends on the car. Usually the ABS system, which now is more like the stability system, and it looks at things like the angle of the steering wheel, how much power you're requesting from the engine, mm-hmm. what gear you're in, and at some point or another, it may apply one brake, or it might apply power to the opposite wheel, mm-hmm. all in an effort to get the car back on the straight and narrow.
Right.
And which is pretty cool most of the time, but if you are on... Like the ice over at Nassau Coliseum there.
On a rink, right.
Yeah, you're going to go sliding no matter what. So at that point, you better hope your insurance is paid up. That's all I got to say.
Exactly.
You know, people ascribe too much to this, what they really shouldn't.
There's limits to everything is what it is.
Right.
There are limits to everything, and that's the problem, where you don't have...
Well, the commercials, too, for these things. You know, they got the people looking, you know, like, turned around, being distracted. Next thing you know, they're, like, right up against this truck. Did you ever notice it's a nice summer day?
Yes.
You know what I mean? The truck was shipping, you know, a bunch of the MyPillow things or something.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So no one was going to happen anyway.
I tell you what, with that in note, let's get from the nice summer weekend, nice summer day, let's go and visit a wild weekend.
Oh, good.
Let's do a little bit of that. Some more sax from the Brooklyn Time Machine. Hopefully we'll come back with Mike Forte from Forte's Transmissions on the line, and then we'll talk all about transmissions on Motormouth Radio. So with that, keep it where you got it, and let's hear a little bit about Brooklyn Time Machine.
all-hit music.
For all those songs radio has forgotten about, join me, Big Ed, Mondays from 10 a.m. till noon for the Good Gold Show. We'll bring back all the great hits of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and more. The sounds of doo-wop to disco, all the Motown, soul, and great rock and roll. We'll even take your requests and dedications to the Good Gold Show.
Music.
On the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, and streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we are back live. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, Brooklyn Time Machine, taking us out with that great sound of that sax on Wild Weekend. And on the phone, Mr. Mike Forte. Mike, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you, Ray? Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. You know what? Like I said, our good friend Kenny Hammer had put me in touch with you, and he said, Mike is the man. He'll tell you everything you need to know, and he was right. So,
yeah. Kenny's a good guy. Thank you.
Come highly recommended. Yes.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know where to even start with what you do, because it's so, you do a lot of cool stuff. So, yeah, where do you want to begin with this, Mike?
Well, I've been a gearhead my whole life. I'm 62. I've been starting my business from nothing in 1981, but I really started at home in 78, but we won't count that. And by 83, I started selling Doug Nash transmissions. I sold, you know, probably about 1,000 transmissions between then and
wow.
Richmond bought them. And then mail order started selling them, and it kind of fell off, and I was selling lots of Mustang parts and kind of fell into selling parts. Then I was at the SEMA show in 1992, walking around. I saw a Tremec 5-speed, and I said, hey, that, said the guy, I said, that'll fit a GM Bellhausen. He goes, no, it's for a Ford T5. I go, no, that'll fit. You've got the boss right here for a GM bolt pattern. They go, no, and I'm like, okay, whatever. So I took the two business cards, one Walt Stanton from, he's a big cheese at Tremec at the time, and I called him back after the show on a Monday, said, hey, remember me? Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. You know, we were talking about it. I said, believe me, it's going to work. So I said, call some people that know me, and he did. He called me back about 15 minutes later and says, what are you doing next Tuesday? I go, I don't know why, what's up? He goes, pick me up at the airport. I'm like, what flight?
Wow.
Wow.
And I put it, went direct with Tremec at the time, and it was only a Ford transmission. And machined it, and we machined this input in the bearing retainer in front of the case and the transmission boss. And I put it in my old, I have an old 68 Z28 that, I used to love running down to Bridgehampton, as a matter of fact, my favorite track.
Mm. Right, right. That's right, because you're a Long Island guy, correct, Mike?
Oh, no, my parents are New Yorkers. They're both from Kingston, New York, born in Kingston. I'm actually from upstate, where me and my brothers and sister were all born at Rome, New York, where Griffiths Air Force Base is.
Got it, okay.
And that was a long time ago. We moved in 62 to the Boston area, and that's where I've been the rest of my life. But I've always considered myself a New Yorker.
You sound like one.
Yeah.
I can say R. And I, whenever I talk, like I said the other day, we talked a few minutes, I said, you go to the World's Fair, you know?
Right.
Whenever
that's
I talk to somebody from New York, I always say, you go to the World's Fair? What do you think of the Pepsi, or, you know, those Small World,
it's
or
a
one
small
of those
world.
Things, you know?
Yep.
I'm just about your age, and yeah, I did that, the whole boat ride and the plastic dinosaurs and the Fords running around that thing of the future there, and oh, yeah. That
yeah,
was fun.
Yeah.
That was great when you're like about a 9-year-old or whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
I was nine, 8 and 9, 64 and 65. I
yep.
Remember it like it was yesterday. Well, not quite, but you know, I remember the Ford GT in 1965 at the Ford Pavilion. You know, there were Mustangs every place, and there was a Ford GT, and I instantly fell in love with that car. Like, I could not believe how beautiful that car was.
Obviously,
and then in the GM Pavilion, they had the Mako Shark, which was the predecessor to the
Corvette,
you know, the 68 Stingray.
Right, yep. Right.
Yep.
I remember it like so well.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, it leaves
a gearhead will have that effect. Yeah, I remember the Chrysler turbine cars.
Right.
Driving around. Yep.
Yep. I actually met a guy whose father worked at Chrysler. He worked for Chuck Engelbrecht, who worked at Tremec for a long time. He actually does the shows. He does the show circuit. And his father had one of those Chrysler Turbine cars. And when I was at the car show with him at the World of Wheels in Boston a couple years ago, he says, "Mike, I knew you'd appreciate this. Check this out." And his father was a hunter, and on the back deck lid was a deer.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Cool.
So
of a turbine car.
That's cool. Mike,
so he drove it home and he cooked it at the same time.
There you go, right. Yeah. Just to change gears a little bit, so to speak, I happen to have a Tremec in my street car. Tell people what's so good about this transmission. You know, why did I end up buying one of these? What was, you know, from your impression, what's the reason that people would want to have one of these transmissions?
Well, the 5-speed with the bolt pattern, the GM bolt pattern in the front, which Tremec has, and since I did that in 93, it bolts right to the stock bell housing. So it uses a stock clutch linkage, a stock flywheel, stock clutch assembly, except you need a 26 flying discs, simple
right.
change.
Mm-hmm.
And your 4-speed that your car would have had, I know you told me you had a 65 GTO.
Yes.
Let's say it had 370 gears. So you drive down the road with a nominal 26-inch high tire, 3,000 RPM with 373s was 62 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
You know, your 2-3 was basically 40 to 60 miles an hour. And, you know, 4,000 wouldn't do much better. You'd be just over 80.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the car was just revving, going no place. So when you put the when you put a 5-speed in, this thing's got an overdrive, and you know the TKO 500 is a 0.68 overdrive, which is 32% overdrive. That would go from 3,000 RPM at 62 miles an hour if you had 373s to 2,040. Then the TKO 600, which is a 0.64 overdrive, goes from 3,000 RPM to 1920. So nice. 1920 or 2040 is much greater than 3,000. So you're driving down the road 62 miles an hour, and your motor's just chugging along, taking it easy.
Yeah.
And when you're at 3,000 RPM, you're literally at 95 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So your 2-3 is, instead of 40 to 62 is now 63 or 4 to 95. It completely changes the drivability of your car.
Which is kind of the issue I've been finding, where if I really, I can't put the thing into fifth unless I'm doing about 65, 70. That's when I like to click it into fifth. And then from there, it's like, yeah, you want to go from 70 to 90 as your next logical choice. But we have these things called state troopers and highway patrol who don't like that.
Smokey Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to watch out for those guys.
Yeah.
You got to be on your game. No sleeping at speed, that's for sure.
Right, right. But you're right. It did really give a world of difference. And the problem that I'm experiencing also is the lower gears. First, second, my car with, you know, Pontiacs are all the same block architecture. People say, is it a small block or a big block? Well, Pontiac doesn't have that delineation. It's all one size. And
that's right.
They're more like a big block. A lot of torque, you know, big stroke. The thing is, it made that engine feel more like a small block in the lower gears because it does rev quick. It'll pick
That's
it up.
That's because of the deeper first gear. So
right.
your Muncie would have been a 220 or a 254 first gear.
Mm-hmm.
Your TKO 600 has a 287 first gear. So numerically, you've got a lot more first gear.
Right.
I should finish the story. So I put this transmission in my Camaro. Running a 302 out of Bridgehampton was a lot of fun. I ran a 154 with a stock 302, and I was flying. Loved that track.
That's cool.
Just thinking about it gets my heart charging. But
yeah.
I wanted to test it out in my Camaro, so I took the 302 out because they don't have any real steam, and I put a mild 400 in, you know, a solid 400 horsepower motor. And with 350 gears, set of 26 by 10 slicks, set of slapper bars, that car, first run, 1224,
112.62. Wow. Nice.
Jeez. It's low 12s, first run. And it was uneventful. I still had the road race tires. I had a 26 by 10 road race tire in the front, the sway bars. I mean, I just wanted to make a fast run, and it did. My third run that night, I ran 1192 with 113.63. I'm in the 11s on my third run.
Wow.
And when I was a kid, if you had an 11-second car, you were modified production. Trailer queen, it was not a street car at all.
Right.
This car was totally streetable.
Right.
Put 410s in the car, and the car ran 1177, 115.45. I let the guys at work drive it, and the next time I got it, the clutch was slipping. So we went home, and that was the end of the season. It was end of October, but I was in the 11s on my fourth run.
Beautiful. Speaking of that, Mike, just to back up a half a step, what is your recommendation for a street clutch for a street car? What do you like to use or see your customers use?
I sell a lot of Ram clutches and Rod McLeod. I'm direct with both those companies. I compete with mail or, the big guys every day. They're good clutches.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, if you had a brand new 455 Ram Air GTO with a 4-speed, it came with a GM clutch.
Uh-huh.
And so did a Corvette and so did a LS6 Chevelle. All those things that came with stock clutches.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing wrong with a stock clutch.
Uh-huh.
That said,
pretty healthy, yeah.
So you can buy a Valeo or AMS or something, you know, BorgWarner clutch, $150, $170 that'll do the job, and do it without breaking the bank. A lot of people like expensive clutches, and I'll appease them with it. But I'm building an aluminum head 454 Chevelle right now, and it's got a stock clutch, and I don't care.
Right. Yeah, that's and you're talking like the Ram clutches. You're talking about full contact area, full Marcel. You know, it's not one of those, not one of the segmented clutches, right? It's.
I highly recommend a Marcel style clutch.
Oh yeah,
no pucks.
Right.
I mean, I used to sell a lot of 98 Power Grip clutches, 9800 series Ram clutches, but they chatter more than the 88 series, and you know. Creature Comforts, not everybody wants to go out and launch their car at 5,000.
Right.
And I wouldn't recommend it with that clutch anyways, but the harder you drive a clutch, the less it wears, the less it lasts. Just like brakes, the harder you drive your car, the sooner your brakes wear out.
Sure.
So
yeah, that's the thing, you know, and I know a lot of guys, it's universal. Guys see multi-disc clutches and they want, you know, they want the biggest, the best because it's their baby. And I try and talk guys out of it sometimes, like, you know, but you don't need that part for your application. You're really overdoing it. Oh, but it's the best. Yeah, but something else will do just as well for the way you're going to granny this car around town, you know.
When you've got a clutch that chatters, it's very bothersome. It's embarrassing almost, you know.
Yeah.
You know, well, some people can drive a stick better than others, too. I should point that out.
Right. Oh, very true, yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
I mean, they bought a brand new transmission, and they tell you when they call back and they say, I got a problem. I was hammering third gear, and I, you know, buzzed it. I'm like, you got to keep the clutch in until you get into third, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, naturally. The guy's disappointed because he's hurt his transmission because he doesn't know how to drive it. But if you know how to drive a stick and you can get it in gear before you let up the clutch, or you can get the clutch down before you pull on the lever, the transmission's got a much better life and living, a chance of living a full lifetime.
Exactly.
But some people, you know, they hammer the transmission. They use the expression, I hammer second gear, I hammer third gear. I'm like, don't you think maybe you should baby it a little bit?
Yeah, right.
It's a brand new transmission. As a matter of fact, I tell people when they buy the transmissions from me, and this is thousands of times, tens of thousands of times, take the car, put it up on jack stand so the tires are off the ground, but it's standing on the suspension, and put it in first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, third mm-hmm. gear, fourth gear, fifth gear, fourth gear, third gear, second gear, first gear, second gear, and just drive the thing with the tires spinning, and synchros, you know, get used to it.
Yeah.
And
you let break in, yeah.
My car, when I took it down the track and ran that 1224, that car had never been driven, not 1 mile.
Wow.
It was driven on jack stand. I don't have a license plate on.
Yeah.
I don't drive in the street. I have a real problem with fast cars.
Yeah, that's true. No, it's funny, yo, when you said that, No, go on, Mike. Finish up.
I was just saying, you can do it. Come on, push it to the floor. Let's hear it go. You know, that's what the car is saying to me when I'm driving my car.
Yeah. Right, it's talking to you.
Don't they?
So
always...
I drive a diesel pickup truck, but it's got a stick.
Of course.
Naturally,
yeah.
Right?
That's all good stuff. But yeah, I know I had actually done that with my car and I was putting it together. I had it up on jacks. I said, hey, let's just make sure everything works. And did just what you said. Started to put it in gear and just ran it through the gears. Looked out, made sure the tires were spinning and said, okay, hey, this is good. We know that works now.
Yeah, plus that stuff's got, that stuff does have to wear in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit of sharp edges. We could get a little clearance. Sure, why not?
What do you think, Mike, for break-in on a new transmission? Now, that those trannies do use GM Synchromesh fluid. That's what
it calls for. I actually use a Pennzoil. It's much less money. It's the same oil.
Oh, that's good to know, because I know I bought that Synchromesh. We'll get to this a little later. I have a bit of a leak in my tranny, and buying that stuff, I think, what is it, like $8, $9 a quart? It's kind of expensive.
Yeah, it depends on where you're getting it. If they stock it, it's always less than if you have to buy the case, you know?
Right, right. Oh, but Pennzoil, that's good to know. That's is there a designation? Is it called Pennzoil Synchromesh?
Pennzoil Synchromesh, and right on the front of this yellow stick, you know, the yellow bottle, it says, hold on, chicken, cut it out, will you?
Hmm.
My dog's over there rolling like a bear.
The dog is named Chicken?
Well, her real name is Heidi, but I call her Chicken.
Oh. I love it.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
It'll say 1-2-3-4-5-3-4-9. That's the GM part number.
Right, right.
1-2-3-4-5-3-4-9. Easy number to remember, right?
Right.
And it's what it says right on the front of it, Synchromesh, Pennzoil, and three quarts, and fill it up. I recommend changing the oil after 500 miles and then not change it for another, you know, you don't have to change. If it's leaking, of course, and if it's leaking, you should call the person you bought it from and say, this thing's got a leak. Let Tremec wants to know about these, and they pressure test every one of these transmissions before they're shipped.
Right, right.
So if it's got a leak, they want to know about it and address any issues. And most leaks are from shifter modifications and so forth, mid shifters, front shifters, where the sealing isn't done properly.
Yeah, we haven't done that. But you know what, Mike? I want to take a quick break. I want to keep you on the line with us.
Oh, sure.
And we're going to come back, and we're going to pick up where we left off with the leaks, and because it raised a few questions. So if you could stay with us here on Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D., we will be back in just a couple seconds, maybe a minute or two, and we'll continue with the leakage topic. So
I'll be right here.
Yeah, leakage, yeah.
Let's get back to Brooklyn Time Machine. They'll take us out.
This is Teddy Savalas, and I invite you to 2 hours of vintage and modern Greek music with a mix of Greek mythology, history, culture, and dynamic English vocabulary based on Greek roots. If after listening, you end up saying it was all Greek to you, I'll be thrilled. So until then, let out an opa and dance to the music on The Soul of Alas, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Opa!
All right, that was Steve K, Joe D's Soundalike, coming back with Ghost Riders from the Brooklyn Time Machine, Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio, and we still have Mike Forte on the line. Mike, how you doing?
Still here. Listen, it's a great show.
Excellent. Thank you. So we were talking about leaks, and you said one of the most common problems from those transmissions is due to shifter modifications, correct?
That's true, yeah. A lot of problems with those, yeah.
What do people do to modify the shifter? Why would they affect a modification like that?
Well, the transmission comes with a shifter in the back that comes up at 19.5, or you can take it and remove it and turn it around. It comes up at 16.75.
Right.
There's also a mid-shifter position that the shifter can come up with. It comes up at 12.5 inches, which would be more like for a pickup truck, or a lot of Cobra kit cars have that because it uses a straight stick instead of a bent handle.
Right.
Which makes it so when you're shifting, the shifter is right below, and you can actually have the H pattern below your hand, as opposed to long levers that reach forward that's literally under your elbow. When it shifts from under your elbow, the shifter is literally going in an up and down motion because it's pivoting under your elbow. So
it's
going up and down and rocks side to side, as opposed to just a side to side motion. So that's a common modification. I sell them, and I put a seal in them, but most people don't. Tremec also makes a shifter that's really tall for pickup trucks, but it doesn't fit the Cobras very well. So not a very good bomb.
There's other
companies that sell them that don't put seals in them at all, and they just shower the inside of the car with oil.
Well, that's, I know that when I got mine, my shifter is in the rear location because it's a GMA body with a console, so it's where it needs to be.
Right.
But when I got the transmission, I had it on my bench, and I was playing around. I was turning the input shaft, and it was in gear, and I couldn't free it with the shifter. So I called them up, and they said, listen, take the plate forward of the shifter, take that off, and that's where you could see like the shift forks, and they instructed me how to go in there manually and just free up. They said sometimes in shipping they get a little jammed.
They get jarred, There's three rails, and one of them can go forward without being selected.
Right.
Two or three won't move. Only one can move at a time. But if one of those rails moves forwards, the selector underneath that reaches to each one of those other selectors, selector lugs, it would then can't open into that gate. And if it can't get into the gate, you can't select the gear.
Right.
It's stuck.
Right.
So when you open up that cover in the middle, you'll see the three shifter lugs on the rails, and you just align them so all three of them align. And that will then align the selector below to be able to access all three lugs.
Right. Yeah, it worked like a charm. It was really easy. But now I got to say, I don't remember, and I did that a while ago, I don't remember if there was sealant on that cover or not. And that's what I'm going to investigate. I'm going to take that off. And Kenny had said you recommended using stuff called The Right Stuff.
Yeah. The Right Stuff, yeah. It's a Permatex product. Mm-hmm. It makes silicone that came out in the early 70s. It puts that to shame.
Okay.
The Right Stuff has an adhesive quality to it that's unbelievable. Caterpillar uses it, Ford uses it, Cummins uses it, General Motors uses it. It's unbelievable. I buy it in a caulking gun.
Oh, wow.
It's expensive. It's not a $3 or $4 item. It's a $20 or $22 item. It'll last a long time if you treat it well. But that stuff has sealing qualities like you dream about. It makes silicone passé. I don't even sell silicone anymore.
Why didn't they use a gasket on that surface under that cover?
Well, gaskets will leak. These won't.
Okay.
So what if it didn't have sealant on, then it would leak bad. So you're going to pull a transmission, or you can pull the cover top of the tunnel off.
Yeah, I can take the top of the tunnel off and do it right in the car. Yeah,
because
what I did, of course, I bought my transmission from a company called Kiesler, who had since been sold to Silver Sport Transmission, and Jack Silver actually graciously offered. He says, "If you send us the transmission back," he said to me, "I know you didn't. You probably don't have the box, but haha, I do."
It was such
a cool cardboard box that held the transmission. I saved it. It's in the loft of the garage. He said they would go over it and make it right, but I got to climb under there and take the transmission out. That's sucks. So I think I'm going to try and attack it this way first and see if that solves the problem.
But yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Now, you had spoke about a plug in the front of the transmission that oftentimes leaks also, correct?
Yes, they put a double O-ring on it since they came out with it. What it was, when Tremec came out with the TKO 500, is the 500 designates 500 foot-pounds of torque capacity. The 600 has a different tooth count on the input shaft and the cluster gear. Every other part is the same. So it's the same case, same main shaft, same gears, except for the input shaft and the cluster gear. And the cluster gear used to be a multi-piece cluster gear, but the TKO 500 and the TKO 600 have a one-piece cluster gear, which makes it much stronger.
Stronger.
It's not pressed together with snap rings and a big Woodruff key. Makes it much stronger.
Got it.
But the TKO 600, the tooth count was such that you could not get the counter. So the engineers did the engineering of it, right? And it's coming out. It'll be out any time now. And when they came out with it, the 500 all that came out. And the reason the 500 came out was because it's the same transmission as the 600.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, excuse me, it's the same transmission as the 3550. And if you look at your transmission, it says 3550 because 3550 is the series of transmissions. Just like T5 is a series of transmissions, T56 is a series of transmissions available in multiple cars. In any event, the TKO 600, when they went to put it together, the tooth count of the cluster gear was such that the cluster gear would not fit into the case the way it did in the 500.
Oh, wow.
So they had, and this was engineering, faux pas, is that a word?
Anyways, yeah, it is.
So they,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foobar.
Foobar, yeah. So the cluster gear wouldn't fit into the case. The cup in the transmission case and the bottom for the cluster gear used to go in from inside and would go up against a shoulder with the O-rings in place to seal it. The TKO 600, when they finally came out with the fix, was to make it so the cup goes in from the front, so there's no shoulder. And the shoulder for the bearing cup ends up being the transmission bell housing case. So the bell housing that the transmission bolts to supports that cup.
Okay, got it.
And that's the way that
and that's what would move and cause leak. So what's the best way to ensure good life and longevity from your TKO transmission?
Don't drive it like you stole it.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah,
I guess you can drive it real hard, but you know, use your clutch. I mean, I remember we called this guy. I forget his first name because we named him Mangler. Mangler Moda.
Nice.
He tore up his transmission three times.
Wow!
The first two times he didn't tell us how he blew it up. The third time we got the answer from his friend who says he just pulls on the shifter full throttle, no clutch.
Right, right, right.
And that explained the first two transmissions that blew up. He did go to an automatic because poor Mangler, he didn't know how to drive.
Yeah,
yeah. But you know, and he broke that transmission three times in under a month.
Yes.
And,
wow.
I would not hand that man a firearm. He would have a hole in his foot.
Oh, yeah. Or yours, yeah. No, that's crazy.
Keep away from me.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
but no, that's why we gave him a name, Mangler, because he was a Mangler. He just destroyed the transmission. His car's running the low eights. But at the time, it was a fast street car that was a low 11 second car. And he blew up T5 after T5 after T5, and then he put a Tremec in it, and he got a little better, but he drove like an animal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys running the nines with these transmissions, and it's not really a challenge. It's just follow the rules.
Yeah.
Drive it with some respect.
There's a difference between driving hard and abuse.
I do find, now I've been driving a standard transmission for many, many years, and my daily driver car is also a standard, so yeah, I've been doing it a long time, but I find that TKO is such a nice, smooth, shifting, easy transmission to work with. I know Kenny had told me a lot of the Cobra guys were complaining early on, the 2-3 shift, they were hanging up, and I said, yeah, that used to happen to me on my old 3-speeds, the 1-2 shift would hang. She had to go through the neutral gate. But I said, yeah, with this, I said, it's an internal rail shifter. If you really just take that shifter, I show them, take the palm of my hand and just kind of push up to the right. It just finds third gear. It's just...
Yes, and I'm glad you said that, because I want to enter a little discussion about that. And this is something to do with, like Mopars. They got the pistol grip shifter.
Right. Yeah.
No. You don't want one of those. You don't want a T-handle. You don't want a pistol grip. You don't want anything that's going to make it so you hand...
Interesting.
Grab the knob. You want to pull the shifter, put it in the first gear. I'm moving my hand in front of it.
I know.
You put it in the first gear. You pull it back with your fingers. Push it forward with your palm. Pull it back in the fourth. And push it over to the right in the fifth. And if you got a 6-speed, pull it back in the 6 with a light tug to the right, and it goes in the 6. So the transmission has springs that operate the selector to where it's going to go. And there's bevels cut in those selector lugs so that it literally, it'll go straight forward into that other gear because it just has a bevel cut on the one selector lug, and it's got a matching bevel on the next selector lug. So we'll go... like do a diagonal right in the gear. So all you do is push it forward with the palm and pull it back with your fingers.
It was interesting you said that.
It finds itself. So don't steer the shifter with your hand by clawing the knob and trying to select it yourself, because you will find, you'll go from a second to fifth, all the time. I remember as a Super Chevy down in Virginia a number of years ago, and I was at the Tremec booth, and I had a bunch of, you know, good guys. They had all stick cars. One was a Viper guy, a couple of Vet guys, and one guy was saying how much he hated a transmission. It's terrible. I said, tell me what it's doing. He goes, I missed here. I'm going from second to fifth all the time. And I'm like, well, you got to take your hand off the shifter. And he's like, blank you. You know, I said, no. You're missing my point. You know, you got to, you can't hold the knob. You got to pull it back with your fingers. Push it forward, pull it back, push it forward to the right, pull it back. I mean, it was really quite simple. One of the other guys that was paying attention to me actually called me. We laughed about the guy that got irate, and he said, you fixed my shifting problem by telling me how to drive a car. And he'd been driving his whole life in stick cars. He had a new Vet. He had more money than me, you know.
Yeah.
But he was grateful that I told him to take his hand off the shifter and shift with his fingers.
It's interesting you say that, because I was always a T-handle guy, and I put a T-handle on my shifter, and I didn't like it. I did not like the way it felt on that transmission, so I took it off and went to a ball.
That's right. I have a T-handle at work just so I can show people how bad it is. You claw the handle, and you end up missing gear. Now, a four-speed, it's fine. You just pull it back, second, push it forward in the third, pull it back in the fourth.
Yeah.
And, Chris, you can pull it right off. You can break the shifter, but the four-speed's not going to die from it. But when you're steering a five-speed, you will miss gears for sure.
Right.
Mike, I wonder. People watched those videos of like people like Ronnie Sox back in the day.
Yeah,
Jim or just Jenkins. Pointed that out. People,
Grumpy Jenkins.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so they wanted to shift.
Who
like
was
races.
The guy that used to have a cigar in his mouth?
Jenkins.
Was it Dick Landy or
Landy? Probably did too.
Yeah.
I mean, he would shift with his shoulder in the gear.
Right.
He'd have his hand on that knob, and shoulder would lift forward, pull back with everything he had on that competition plus shifter. He put everything he had into getting that in the gear.
Right. Mike,
that's not the way these work. No.
Let me keep you on for one more quick break. We'll take our last break, and then we'll come back and wrap up. And I want to ask you a question about clutch actuation. So hang with us here on Motormouth Radio. Joe D. and Mike Forte from Forte's Parts Connection.
Yep.
Ray Guarino, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to go back to Brooklyn Time Machine, and then we'll come back and wrap with Mike. So keep it where you got it.
Great, thanks.
Okay.
Hey, you in the car. Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show every Friday afternoon at 3 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, back with the sweet sounds of Perfidia, performed by the Brooklyn Time Machine. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio, on with Mike Forte from Forte's Parts Connection. Mike.
Right here.
I want to throw something out to you that you may think I'm a little nuts for, but I noticed on your site you talk about, you do a lot of Ford stuff and clutch actuation. One of the projects I wanted to do in my car was, instead of, I didn't want to use a hydraulic clutch bearing for a number of different reasons, and I am using the stock, the mechanical Z-bar and clutch actuation, but what I want to do, I had the idea of using a cable, and I actually got myself a Monza bell housing that has a boss for the cable to go through, which was the hard part, and then I was going to adapt a Ford quadrant, which is that half moon thing they have on top of the clutch pedal, to pull the cable.
Right.
Have you ever heard of anybody doing that on a GM before, or am I totally whacked out?
You're whacked, yeah, no question.
Okay, good.
That's actually, you know, it's funny you asked that, or go that way. I hate to sound like I did this, you know, but I really did. I'm the guy that developed the GM Tremec from Ford back in 93. And I'm the guy that developed the firewall clutch adjustable quadrant kit for the Mustang. I did that in 95. Mm-hmm. Before that, all those Ford Mustangs, they had the plastic quadrants, and they were known to strip.
Right.
And BBK and some other companies came out with a cable linkage that had a think of it, Mike. You can do it, like an adjustable threaded rod at the end of the cable.
Mm-hmm.
For the adjustment, you had to jack up the car to adjust, just like an emergency brake adjuster would be, with the threaded rod. That said, I actually make a bolt-on bracket that bolts to the transmission bolts, and I make a modify a stock fork that a cable goes into.
Okay.
So you could use your stock bell housing,
right,
with this modified stock fork that I put a rod end into it that the cable goes into.
Right.
Now, the quadrant, I have not considered doing a quadrant for that, because the quadrant would have to go above the pivot on the clutch pedal, which
exactly
would be in your
geometry,
which would be above your
I found a guy that did it. He welded it up, but I thought of, I looked at it and said, "Hey, you know what? You can clock that quadrant a number of different ways," and talk about trial and error. So I as much as I wanted to try the project, I didn't do it. I got the parts and they're kind of just sitting in the garage. But because I thought a cable actuation would be kind of cool and, you know, save some space and header clearance and whatnot. But
I have not given up on that. I literally have parts on my counter at work, with the bell housing, with GM bell housing, with a fork that's been modified with a bracket. And I'm considering how to attach the cable in the car to a modified stock pedal,
right,
that does not use a quadrant.
Got it. Okay, well, that's cool.
And I've got it figured out. It's just a matter of how to sell it that'll fit somebody's car, that'll be strong enough not to fail. Because if you attach it to the pedal, it's got to be something greater than quarter inch or 3/16.
It's got to be beef to it,
you know,
sure.
7/16 or maybe half inch.
That's
so it's got some girth to work with.
Right.
Well, I'm working on that.
Cool. Well, I'll keep in touch with you on that. Yeah.
Stay in touch. It would go right through the cable, would go right through the hole in the floor,
mm-hmm,
where the rod would go through. So it would be pretty straightforward.
Right. All right, Mike, we're getting to,
we're getting to
the end of the show. Let's let people know, tell everybody how they can find you and get in touch with you if they want to deal with you. What's contact information, please?
Sure. My name is Mike Forte. My store is in Framingham, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Don't hold that against me. my phone number is 508-875-0016. I have email, which is mikeforte302@gmail.com. You can reach me that way, and I have a website, which is not my specialty because I'm not a web guy at gray hair, which is fortesparts.com. And email works real well. You can call me. If you called my store right now, I'd answer the phone and say, "Hey, how you doing?"
That's great. That's great.
I answer 7 days a week for tech calls and whatnot.
Excellent. Well, Mike, we got to run because we got to wrap the end of the show. But we thank you for,
thank
for
you
coming
so much
on
for
with
coming
us.
In. Yeah,
and then,
very informative.
Yeah, you know, into the new year, we'll revisit. We'll get you back on to talk about stuff. Or if you have developments, reach out to me, and we'll find you a spot on here. You got a
by
home base.
I like that. I had a good time. Thank you very much. Can I say Merry Christmas, New York?
Oh, heck
thank
yeah.
you very much. Merry Christmas to you too, as well, Mike. Thank you very much.
All the best to you guys. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right, you too, man. It's all over.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, that was Mike Forte from Forte's Parts Connection. Always a wealth. And I have to say, because I need to say, you can tune in to a show called Just Relationships here on WHPC Wednesdays from 3 to 3:30 p.m. Dr. Duffy Spencer offers skills to better your relationships with family, friends, and coworkers. Stuff that we need to brush up on, Joe.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, we're out there messing with our cars and stuff in relationships. I don't know.
We have those troglodyte guys that you know, hang with, right?
You know, it's either me or that car. Don't worry. You know what? Let me get the carburetor back. I'll give you a ride home, okay? Just hang on a minute.
Exactly, exactly.
That was a line of the Queen song, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was. And we did play that one when we covered Rob's free-for-all show a couple of last...
Yeah, we'll have to do that again. You know, you think they'll ever let us do that again?
I think he just said next week he needed...
Next week?
Didn't he say that, like Christmas Eve?
I don't know. I was too busy. I was too busy adjusting my cane.
Me too. Right, right. So that was a great interview with Mike. That was good. I want to show you something, Joe.
Really? You mean all them squiggly lines and...
This is the LED panel for my Pontiac.
Oh.
And we talked about last week with Mitch. Let me see if I can do this. I need to ground the outside. I'm doing this on the fly.
Yeah, I could see that. We're going to do the Uncle Fester thing, huh?
Now, what? Yeah, I put...
Watch where you put that other wire.
I think this one was maybe... let's try... That's, I think...
Damn, that's bright.
Park, and this is maybe brake. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what 800...
That's very impressive.
Yeah. If I would have prepared correctly, and of course we're not doing video, so if I would have prepared correctly...
Thank God.
But yeah, that's what 800 LEDs is going to look like in the back of the car. I lit this thing off in the basement.
Okay, you can shut it off now. I have to drive home now.
And my wife from the kitchen saw the reflection through the stairway and came out and said, "What's going on?" She thought like the nuclear reactor blew up.
Oh, really?
I'm like, no, it's just my new brake light. That was just one side.
Maybe it was like cop cars or something outside or something, right?
Yeah.
Cool. That is very powerful. I like that.
So that was Mitch's handiwork, and I'm going to actually take
very
some photos
impressive.
And throw a video together, and we're going to get that up on the website. And
might have to get some of those for the Camaro, maybe.
Yeah, he does. And that's kind of a custom made piece to fit. You know,
right.
The
panel.
The
I don't know if he's quite ready to go into the taillight business just yet. But
well, he does. You know, I'm thinking
nice
about,
to know he's got the technology and the know how to do it.
I'm going
to
talk to him about doing something for the Fiat as well, because I was going to use a third brake light in this car, and now I think why.
Right.
I mean, really, the third brake light, your reason you use it is because if these go out, you have a separate
light.
Well,
not only that, it's more eye level, but if you have that thing at eye level, you're going to have a... I don't know about that.
I'm not really worried, yeah. So
Yeah.
But...
Very impressive, though.
So we're coming to the wrap of another year. We have one show left in this year.
Right.
You know, we're trying to get Pat Seppi on today. He couldn't make it from Dial Transmission. Maybe he'll pop in next week. We'll see.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we'll be doing the next thing. You know, I'll be reading the Motormouth Radio hit list from 2017.
Yes,
I've been keeping track. Yeah, so...
Yes, we got to have the wrap up there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be a proper year.
No, exactly not, so...
Well, it's good to know. Well, you see, you're on top of that. Ray is a great great record keeper. So, if there's anything you missed, we'll find out what's going on. And we got New Year's, too, right? We're going to do show New Year's, too,
New
right?
Year's Eve. Yeah. New Year's Eve day, right? So,
right.
We'll be in good shape.
Yeah, that's early enough, because when New Year's Eve comes, I stay home. It's amateur night.
Exactly.
But all the other idiots run into each other, you know, so that with that.
Us, too. We're just waiting for Kim to come in so we can, we'll end
Yeah, that's
show.
Right. Thunder Road is almost upon us.
Is
there.
Kicking off, yeah. Oh, I did get to the bottom of that issue that Bob from Rockville Center called with last night.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we were talking about
Garage Squad. He said he heard they put a starter in the Ford motor, and they said the weight of the flywheel stopped the starter from working. He misheard. Bob, if you're listening, I do have the clip isolated. What they said was the weight that was on the flywheel as a balancing weight was hitting the starter, so they went in and ground it off. And when I showed that to Joe, he gave me the same look of horror I had of like, now what about the balance of the flywheel? It stopped the grinding problem, but you know, that was it.
Who needs crankshaft bearings? So, you know,
goes
to show you that sometimes, Ray, that we are a little too cautious when they make fun of us when we try to get things right on the money and people think we're idiots. Well, goes to show you, see, we could just do it that way.
Get it out the door and go.
Hey, maybe if we did, we could have our own TV show then.
Can you imagine? We could do crazy. No, we'd want to do it right, and that'd be the problem.
Yeah. That's why you make us do radio, because they don't want nobody to see our little tricks.
Exactly. So with that...
And Maybe, like we said, we're going to be doing the music next week.
I don't know. We're going to go talk to Rob.
We got to go find out from Rob.
But Kim has to come in and do her show first. So let's do that. Motormouth Radio, we'll be back next week.
Stay tuned for Thunder Road.
Yep.